The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Coming to you live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show with Sam Platts and Kareem Daniels there. And now, a man who does things because he can. Here's Nate.
Hey, Kareem, how are you?
Good. About yourself?
Not too bad. Made it through Valentine's weekend, President's Day weekend. Oy.
That's a lot for one weekend.
It is, and I did not have President's Day off like a lot of people did not.
Me either.
Although traffic was really pretty decent, so...
It was.
Not a lot of people around. Coming up on the show today, we will have a surprise guest host. He was actually here, and then he left. I expect him back any moment, but I figured, why wait? Let's just get going with the show. Sam is working late this week, so... He will not be joining us. Diana has what she considers more important things to do. I need more stage time. I need more stage time. Okay. Go get more stage time if you think it'll help.
Hopefully she won't fall off.
It's true. Although she did write on Facebook that she got into the shower with her glasses on and then panicked because she couldn't see.
What?
Yeah. I'm really starting to wonder what's wrong with that girl. I have no idea what it could be, but she'll be away for a couple of weeks. Thus, the intro without her name in it. We expect her back in March. She's got a big comedy competition coming up, and so she's going to be spending pretty much every night on a stage somewhere, crafting that joke ever so slightly, so that she can be the funniest lady in this lady funny person competition. Funny lady.
Okay.
Yeah. Whatever, that's what she wants to do. That's cool. Good luck to her. Let's see, coming up on the show today, this hump day, Brian Williams gets a little time off to sit and reflect. John Stewart is a quitter. And we've got a general manager of an NBA team throwing some shade at a Hall of Famer.
Ooh.
Yeah. I think he's in the Hall of Fame. So if he's not, he will be soon. So let's start it off. Kareem, how was your Valentine's Day?
It was interesting. Well, Valentine's Day itself, I worked, but we went wine tasting yesterday with seven other couples.
Mm. And where did you end up going?
We went to Placer County.
Oh, okay.
So we went to Mount Vernon. I can't remember the name of the other three. We ended up going to five. Because we stopped at one in Lincoln that wasn't, it was a winery, but it wasn't really a winery.
Okay.
They had like an art gallery. I did get some really good balsamic vinegar, pineapple balsamic vinegar dressing there. But yeah, you know, on a party bus with a bunch of white people is always interesting.
Well, especially with alcohol involved.
Especially with alcohol involved.
Because you never know how that's going to go.
Yeah. I think the funniest thing I heard was the chick that was sitting behind us. She does those passion parties.
Okay.
And somebody called her while we were on the trip. And she's like, okay, I just got home from church. I'm ready to come get my dildo.
You know, God and dildo aren't necessarily that far apart.
Not that far apart.
Depending on what sort of religion you're a part of.
Is it? I think she was going to use her dildo to meet God. Oh, God.
Yeah, she's going to dial him up on the pink telephone.
That is it.
So to speak. Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah,
so that was that. And then Friday we did a double date with another friend of mine and his girlfriend we had dinner with them. A meeting of the girlfriends kind of deal.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's more, that's more couple stuff that I have done in, I don't know, maybe ever.
Yeah. Well, it's the time to do it. So, Justin has joined us. He's made his way into the studio. We started without you, which, you know, not a big deal. We start without people all the time.
No. Yeah. And then I was still reminded that wine tasting is a con.
It? How so?
Huh? Is that it, you might as well be comparing the taste of piss. Like, this piss tastes better than that piss.
I don't know, but okay.
Yeah. What? Because you, Look, anything that you drink that you have to describe about, describe the taste about the way you feel as a feeling, then you know that it's not really good. So how does this wine taste? Oh, it's bold. How's that? Oh, it's earthy.
I don't know. I did wine. I did real wine tasting for the first time. And my first reaction when I took a sip of wine was like, I like it, or I don't really like it. That was pretty much, that was pretty much, until I had the $100 bottle of wine. And then I was like, you know, I can actually taste, you taste a little bit and then a little bit more and a little bit more. And a little more. I go, okay, so this is a little bit more complex sort of thing for your palate. So that's why it's a $100 bottle of wine.
Yeah, but see, that's what you just see how he just described that. Like, he's like complex.
My issue with like wine tasting is that, so I guess my issue with wine tasting would be the difference between there's really no $10 and $100 beer, essentially. Like, right? Like they're right. Like wine, there's a huge price point, a huge difference, and they're like, all right, yeah, you can have this affordable wine, or you can have this other wine that you can drink one time a year and enjoy. And so I don't know. The gap between quality seems huge with wine versus beer, where I can go out and have like some good quality beers. I can go taste some good quality stuff for an affordable price point and, you know, kind of compare them all.
Beer is about to take over wine for that in that spot, though. It's coming for it slowly.
Well, I mean, Justin just walked back in with Rustaller Swiss Rifle Club limited release. So I'm guessing this bottle retail, I don't have to get, oh, no, there's no price on the back. But I'm guessing this bottle retails for somewhere around $8 or $9.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is fine. That's a fair price. It's a craft beer done in small batches. So there's that. I have a session lager in a stubby bottle, which is $6 for a six pack.
Yeah.
And they're both very good beers.
But you know what? It's not 10 times the price. That's the difference with the wine. You know what I mean? It's like you can get like two, you can get like an artisanal, you know, beer for a decent price versus if I go get some wine, it's going to be astronomically expensive.
Oh, yeah.
But like the guy who drove us around on the limo, he was like, oh, yeah, I did a beer taste like last week. So he took people for that. So I'm like, okay, so that's the new thing, the pub crawl, but not really.
Yeah, I guess the drawback is for beer though is they don't give free beer. Like, right? Like you go to wine tasting like out in, you know, Amador or whatnot, you'll get free wine wherever you, you know, show up, or at least like $5 you'll get a bunch of different wine.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, I end up going out to three or four different breweries, and it's, I mean, some of these tastings are, I went to Oakland, actually, went to this place called The Woods, which was a brewery out there in downtown Oakland, and it was about $8 a beer, and they had tastings for,
that's how you know the white people are taking over.
Four tastings for $12. I was like, good Lord, like $12 for, so it was like $3 for these little, you know, short pours. It was kind of, they're getting there. So beer's trying to get up on that price point, apparently.
Yeah.
A little bit. And there are some really hefty craft beers. If you go to like Total Wine, there will be some very special limited release, oak barrel aged, special cask, whatever. I've seen $30-$40 bottles of beer. So it's coming.
34 bottles of beer on the wall. Yeah. 34 bottles of beer.
Or you can get a Hams. Which,
if one of those bottles happens to fall, you want to be somebody's ass for knocking your beer off the wall.
So for brunch on Sunday, went over to Easy on I, my first trip over to Easy on I. It's three blocks from my apartment. And really good breakfast, nice breakfast sandwich. And they have one of several different local Sacramento craft breweries on tap, like one beer from New Helvetia, one from Track 7. I forget what the other ones were. And they also had a tap handle for Hams, which is phenomenal. And whoever owns that place has an affinity for Hams that comes from somewhere, because they've got, amongst the decorations, four different styles of Hams cans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. I've actually met the owner. Guy's kind of interesting. He's from Hawaii. So he had a restaurant out in Hawaii, and he sold that, decided to come back to the mainland, and came here looking for a bar to buy, and went around to all these different spots and finally found, it used to be Michelangelo's.
Yeah.
Right? delicious Thai food. So yeah, I've been there for their breakfast, and their French toast is phenomenal. So if you have another French toast, it's like deep fried. That's everything deep fried is delicious, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And so they just do a French toast, and they deep fry it and then put like a caramel sauce on top. So it's amazing, heart attack inducing food.
You just made me hungry.
Well, the breakfast sandwich for basically it's a croissant sandwich, and you go, oh, I can get that at Burger King. No, not like this. It's a sausage, two fresh eggs, and cheese, and it was just perfect. It was just fantastic. So, yeah, if you're in Sacramento, check out Easy on I. We're just talking about Valentine's Day. How was your Valentine's Day?
It was pretty good, actually. I started my Valentine's Day. I woke up kind of hungover in Reno.
Oh, there you go.
So we went out there to a show, went to see St. Paul and the Broken Bones. So a kind of Mississippi soul kind of band. And so went to check them out, and then woke up in the morning and went to a breakfast buffet. So, I mean, what is better than treating yourself on Valentine's Day to crap loads of pork and carbs?
You can't beat that. Do you want to open your beer?
I am going to open that beer, actually, here in a second.
Okay, anytime you want to. There's right next to the refrigerator, there's a bottle opener just sitting on the counter. So if you want to get up while I'm talking about my Valentine's Day, I won't be offended.
Yeah, how was hear about Nate's Valentine's Day?
So my Valentine's Day, we went to see Kingsman at the D-Box Theater in Folsom. And I love the D-Box Theater for action movies because you get in the seat. It's a little bit extra, but the seats are reserved. And because they move, they're independent of anything else. So you don't have anybody, you're not sharing an armrest or anything like that. And the movie Kingsman was fantastic.
So you're in chairs where you don't actually have to sit next to your girlfriend?
No, you're sitting right next to each other.
But they're not actually touching. So
the chairs are independent of one another because as the action of the movie warrants, the chairs will move forward, back, side to side. They will shake you. They will vibrate.
So a movie ticket's already about $12 or $14. So what is it for the D-Box movie?
This ended up, because it was a matinee, ended up being like $16.
Okay.
So I think it's like an extra $8 on top of what you would pay. So it's sort of an immersive experience. It's not something I would do with every movie, but for an action movie.
So for the Notebook, this probably would not be.
I have no idea how it would go for 50 Shades of Grey.
That would be
the pimpin' and hoeing. I want to see that at the IMAX.
The seat would just have a lot of forward and reverse. That's it.
A lot of that. I saw RoboCop in D-Box, and that was kind of cool. Because the fight scenes, you do get thrown around. So you feel like you're a little bit part of the fight scenes. The best movie I saw in D-Box was the Ron Howard film Rush about the Formula One drivers.
Oh, yeah.
Because all of the driving scenes, man, the seat was just like being in the car. When it would take off, it would throw you back in the seat. When it would brake for a corner, it would turn a little bit. You'd be thrown a little bit to the side.
That's good, because normally when I sit down, I'm like, this is like pretty bad for my spine. How can I make this worse and just like throw myself around in a...
You, sir, have no sense of whimsy and fun.
It seems like pretty fun. I tried out the demonstration, actually, when they had them in the theater a while back, and it seemed pretty cool. I don't know, you know, $8 extra. Maybe, yeah, for action films, I could see, you know, especially for something where it's like a driving film like that.
Yeah, this movie, though, Kingsman, really good movie. It's sort of a James Bondy type film, but a little bit different. The fight scenes are shot really, really well. It was just a fun movie. Finished up from there, and then went our separate ways for a little bit because we had a 9 o'clock reservation at Luca downtown, and walked in, and I'd already looked at the menu at Luca. I'm like, all right, I want to have this. And you walk in, they sit you down, and it's interesting because we're in the back room, and it's like wicker chair, table, and then this long padded bench, and all the way down on the long padded bench, woman. On the uncomfortable wicker chairs, man.
Of course.
So, which is fine. I have no problem with that. But I open up the menu. She's like, we have a special Valentine's Day menu. And I'm like,
that's what I was wondering. Do they do the prefix, like, you know, Valentine's, you can only have these two things type?
No, it wasn't that restrictive. But normally, like for dinner, they've got one of the things they have, which is fantastic. There is a Luca burger. It's fantastic. That was not on the special menu.
Oops.
Like, we do not sell anything below $25 tonight, sir.
There were a couple things, but they have a lot of fancier food, which isn't really my forte. So instead of having the option of, do I have the burger or do I have the steak at market rate, It was, oh, I guess I'm going to have the steak. And I'm somebody who notices things, and they kind of bug me a little bit here and there. So I would like, I was like noticing stuff, and I tried not to let it bother me too much, but apparently that part went unnoticed. So she didn't have the greatest Valentine's dinner because I was distracted by things.
Oops.
Yeah.
She is the center of your universe on Valentine's Day,
yes,
man.
I know. I fucked it up.
I didn't get the burger that I wanted, goddammit.
Well, it wasn't quite like that. It was much more subtle, but obviously not as subtle as I thought it was. It was not as subtle as I thought it was. But the steak was fine. Steak and potatoes were fine. It was just, you know, it's not... Again, in the grand scheme of things, not a big deal. And I tried not to make it a big deal, but obviously I need to work on that. So that was all right. But then, you know, we had brunch on Sunday.
You know, when you have your heart set on, you know, a particular food item, it's, you know, it's always crushing.
Or a price point.
Yeah, or a price point. Yeah, that's what you think. You're like, well, I got $11 or $30. I guess I'll take $30.
It was like, well, am I going to spend $15 on a Luca burger, which is going to be, it's good, it's fine. Or am I going to spend whatever? And I'm like, well, we'll see what steak it is and what the market rate is. No, it's this. And there were other options, but not anything would have been in my wheelhouse. So, yeah, I need to work on not letting things bother me that don't matter. As Kareem said, center of my universe.
She is the center of your universe.
You don't have to worry about paying rent. You know what I mean? You buy that steak on Valentine's Day, you go homeless.
It wasn't, and honestly, it wasn't that bad. It was like a $32 or $36 steak. It wasn't the end of the world. With tip, I was out of there for...
How big was the steak?
10 ounce.
Was it 10 ounce or was it a 4 ounce that they told you was 10 ounce?
Oh, no. It was a good probably 10 ounce pre-cooked. So, you know, by the time you got it, it was a good size steak.
Okay.
Good just potatoes. Making sure.
Because, you know, usually when you do a higher, the most more food costs, the smaller it gets.
No. They did a nice job. And I like Luca. Don't get me wrong. I think they do a nice job. I did not fall for the Valentine's Day special meal, which you could pre-order for couples for $125. It was like a three or four course meal.
Damn.
Yeah. It had a bunch that of better different
guarantees
options.
Pussy at the end of the night.
Comes with the contract. They actually deliver to the table. They're like, if you actually order this meal, ma'am, you are consenting to pussy.
It. I saw that. It started with try.
Like if she's not going to give me something, one of your waitresses is fucking me tonight.
I saw the thing started with tri-tip and then went through. So it was an appetizer, tri-tip, and dessert.
It always starts with a tip.
Yeah, and some wine. What was funny is we pulled up and we valeted. And I said, damn, good thing I didn't ride the bikes over because the bike rack out front was just loaded with bikes. And the valet's like, the funny thing is, those are all employees' bikes.
Oh, wow.
So the employees rode their bikes in. So that was Valentine's Day, which, you know, all in all, it could have been worse. I think it was salvaged.
Yeah, you know, you get to spend it with someone, you know.
I did. I almost ruined it. Pulled it back from the precipice of disaster and made a halfway decent weekend out of it. So that's it. And so we made it through that. And so this airs Wednesday. Tomorrow is my birthday, and we're going to go out to Flame and Fire.
Oh, happy birthday! Oh, dude, that place is a fucking amazing.
That's what I'm hoping. I've heard good things.
Yes.
And she was like, where do you want to go for your birthday? And she gave me three choices. And this wasn't one of them. And I go, you're going to hate me. I said, what about Flame and Fire? Because she was giving me choices like Ruth's Chris and Morton's. Like,
you better put out after this.
Oh, I will. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, there's no sex after this. There is nothing but meat sweats and groaning from just pure satisfaction, yes, and fullness. Like,
that
I can
place, you don't eat till you get full, you eat till you get tired.
Oh yeah, exactly. That's the whole thing, is you go to a buffet on your birthday. It's not really a buffet. Like, they come around, you know. I haven't been there myself. I've never been there.
I am telling you,
it's an all you can eat type thing, and it's all you can eat meat, which is delicious. I love Oz Korean barbecue because it's all you can
might have
eat
to change
meat.
Your pants.
You gotta wear the stretchy pants.
I'll wear sweatpants.
Yeah, you gotta wear the stretchy pants, and there is no sex. Just forewarn your girl, like, you know, we gotta have sex before we go to dinner. Like, yeah. That's it. We're going to have to get this on right now.
Yeah, because when you leave, man.
Both, you'd be lucky not to fall asleep on the car ride home. Just be like.
Yeah. I am. Yeah.
Just a full stomach full of pork and beef and deliciousness.
Yeah, because we were talking about it Saturday. We were talking about it. Right, we were like, oh, we need to go back there. If it hadn't been Valentine's Day, I might have considered going.
Yeah.
Just to go because it was that good and we haven't been back because it's expensive.
Yeah, it's a little pricey, but considering it's all you can eat meat,
yes,
it's really not that expensive.
No, it really isn't, but it is.
Because if you ate that much at, say, the Outback Steakhouse, you would spend more than that.
Oh, you spend a whole lot more than that.
So it's not really bad. If you go for like lunch, it's like way less than that too.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they've got a lesser price. The same thing at lunch is less.
Yeah, they won't bring out the filet though. You know, at lunch they're not breaking out the filet and the,
yeah, they bring the filet last.
Yeah,
so remember that while you're eating, that you don't get the filet until the end. That's like the last.
Don't fill up on pork loin.
Yeah. Oh no!
Wait. Yeah. Wait for the filet.
Yeah,
so don't fill up on the pork loin or the lamb. Slow, you know, give the don't. I'll put it this way: don't rush out. Take your time. Sit back. Let some stuff digest. And make room for the filet.
Oh, so it's like a pub crawl. You have to pace yourself and do it right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Look, that's how much food they bring around.
All on skewers.
Yeah, I don't think these places are really like Brazilian barbecue, though, because I see those Brazilian people on TV, and they don't eat unlimited goddamn meat.
No, they're at the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So I don't know what Brazilians are eating these unlimited steak, pork, chicken skewer.
They're the same as the Mexicans eating Chipotle.
Yeah.
So they're the ones that are interested in local farming.
They're the Brazilians with the money.
So that's what's coming up. I'm excited for that. Yeah. So
I'm excited for you. That's how good it was.
Well, that is good then. some sad news though, Valentine's related. Charles Manson, he was recently engaged to a woman in her 20s. It's been called off, sadly, because he figured out that she really only wanted his body after he was dead. Apparently she had wanted to take his body and put it on display in a glass coffin, like they did with Lennon.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's apparently...
Not the Beatle.
No. Vladimir Lennon.
Yeah.
Basically, it's one of the things that her and a friend had tried to convince him to do before.
Who doesn't? I mean, just think about this with their friends. They're like, hey, what guy should we get with and store his dead body somewhere for money?
Well, if you get a look at the photo of her and just take a look at her eyes, she's got the crazy eyes.
Crazy eyes are a telltale sign with their giant, all-seeing nothing.
Oh, shit. The fact that she wants to marry Charles Manson, that's enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was. She had ulterior motives. It wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just for his body, but it's.
I'm sure she just loved his crazy ramblings. I'm sure his incoherent messages through mail. I'm sure that's why she loved him.
Well, she's 27 and he's 80, so you know if those crazy kids can make it through. They applied for the marriage license in November. It expired last week. They had originally planned to reapply for another one, but he caught on to their scheme. And Charles Manson does not get played for a fool.
I think he's just doing this for the conjugal visits. He's just running through, you know, engagements. Yeah, you know, that one, not so much.
Yeah, so...
Next.
Yeah, sad Valentine's Day for Charles Manson. More sad news, too, from New Jersey, where a borough councilman was allegedly drunk and had reddened hands. That's right, red hands, literally, when he was arrested after an alleged domestic altercation. Councilman Edward Durkin was arrested about 2:30 a.m. They arrested him at a friend's house where he was allegedly intoxicated and had redness on his hands that was, quote, consistent with someone who had struck something with their hands. In the report, he is actually denied the incident. He was arrested on simple assault and criminal restraint charges and released pending a court date. His case was transferred out of a municipal court. So it may go to a higher court. It may not. He's not commenting on it. He called it a family matter. Police and municipal officials are not commenting on the arrest because of the nature of the incident. He's a Democrat. He was first elected in 2012, and he is the finance committee chair in the borough. So,
how soon did the cops show up to, like, see the redness on your hand from slapping somebody? Are they, like, the quickest cops to ever show up? And, like, this is the fastest response time. Like,
somebody else's house.
Popped out from behind the couch. Ah, saw ya!
Caught you red-handed.
How do you like that? Is some fast response time. And like, I would think you would just see the redness on her face and say, that's enough. I don't need to actually inspect someone's hands afterwards.
Well, if that's what it was for, but yeah. So he's in some trouble. Here's other trouble in Portland, Oregon, though. Little other coast, different sort of trouble, where the fire chief has issued a letter of reprimand to the assistant fire marshal, Doug Jones, for tipping off the manager of a downtown swingers club that no fire inspectors would be working the night of an unpermitted anniversary party there. It was stupid, and I think he owned up as much, said Commissioner Dan Saltzman.
I'm mad I didn't get invited.
Who signed off on the written reprimand. He's the commissioner who oversees the fire bureau there. Said he made some mistakes, but he also has a 34-year record of no discipline in the past. The relatively light discipline followed an investigation into the situation. The city released a redacted copy of the findings, and he made serious judgment errors in handling the club's CESO permit issue and had raised concerns that the city inspectors have given preferential treatment to certain businesses. Don't know why a swingers club.
He's been there for 34 years. Like, he's like my grandpa at this point, where he's just doing and saying whatever the fuck he wants because he can get away. If you're there for long enough, you're just like, they can, what are they going to do, fire me? Ha!
Yeah, exactly. He's close enough to retirement. The Swingers Club is called Refuge PDX. They have music, art, events, weddings, and love. Also tours and team building events. So let's check some of the upcoming events that they have.
Oh, the team building events must be great.
Not a lot coming up. February 27th, Tanner Ross, Slow Hands Live, Mr. Romo, and Laura Lynn. I don't know what that is, but Slow Hands Live sounds a little disturbing to me. And the background on their website sort of looks like lingerie or flowing water. It's kind of weird. But yeah, there's, and I love that they've got past clients and in there it's NBC and Pandora. So I don't know what NBC and Pandora were doing there, and Red Bull. I know what Red Bull was doing there.
Yeah.
They were doing it very rapidly.
Keep that energy up, guys.
Keep it up. Keep it up. All right. So, now we get to the time in the show. Let me see. Oh yeah, right here. Here it is.
They act. We decide. Cool or tool.
All right. First up in cool or tool. Lost love. Lost love. Kareem, in honor of Charles Manson.
Oh, that's cool.
Justin?
I would say it's cool because we've all had a lost love, even Charles Manson.
It's true. And you know what? I say it's cool because if anybody deserves a little heartache, it's Charles Manson. Up next in Cooler Tool, Red Hands. Red Hands. Justin?
I'm going to say that's Tool for, one of many reasons. So, don't lay hands on people. And if you do, then, don't do it somewhere where you're going to get caught, I guess.
Kareem?
Tool for getting caught.
I think it's racist because, you never hear of any black guys getting caught with red hands. It just doesn't happen. And so it's racist. So it's Tool.
Yeah.
I can find racism in places it doesn't exist.
Yeah, I guess so.
And finally, in Cooler Tool, giving people a heads up. Kareem.
That's cool.
Justin.
That's cool. You should always give someone a heads up.
Yeah, I got no problem with it. Unless people end up dying and it's a swingers club.
They're consenting adults, right? Now they have to sign like a waiver or something when they get in there to say they're
consenting adults. Well, yeah, and it's for that specific event. So the business has been open for other things. So it's like, Yeah, so have your event on this date. There's not going to be a fire inspector. Knock yourselves out.
Yeah,
or up, whatever direction.
As long as they don't allow any crazy pyrotechnics, they should be fine.
Yeah. No great white shows. Too soon. All right, that's going to do it for Cooler Tool. Hey, by the way, thank you everybody who's supporting the show by shopping Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab on NateDarlingShow.com. We do appreciate it. It's super easy. All you do is go to the website. Look up at the top on the left. There's a thing that says Shop Amazon. You click that. It brings you to Amazon.com, and then you shop like you normally would. That's it. It doesn't cost you anything extra. It helps support the show, and we do appreciate it because we got bills coming up.
I'm addicted to Amazon. Especially for vinyl.
I've actually got a couple of really good deals on vinyl on Amazon. New stuff that... And it varies in price, so you have to go back and look a lot. Like, I got a couple of Gaslight Anthem albums for $12 and $14. In the stores, they're $18 or $22.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of the stores, you got to go, you know, kind of search for things. They might not have it all. Vinyl's pretty hit or miss whether or not they have it in the store. Amazon's got, you know, they've got just about everything. I don't know. I think Amazon might be the new Walmart. They might just, you know, run everybody out of business. We'll see.
And the nice thing about vinyl on Amazon is a lot of the stuff has what they call auto rip.
Yeah. And you get it like right on. I got a Kindle. So boom, it goes right onto my Kindle. And then I get it right on there. And plus I got a, you know, vinyl record at home that I can listen to.
Yeah. You get it immediately. And then the record arrives. If you're a Prime member like I am, it arrives in a couple days. It downloads right into your Amazon Prime Music. So it's super simple. And like I said, if you're shopping Amazon anyway, it really does support the show. We get a little percentage and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So thank you very much for everybody who's been doing that. So Brian Williams got caught in a fib, anchor of NBC Nightly News. And the price so far, 6 months off with no pay.
This is the biggest non-story for me. I was not interested. I was just like, first of all, what? Some dude bragging about, you know, his closest encounter to danger, you know, in his life. Some white dude from the suburbs who grew up, you know, in the closest to danger he ever got was riding the bus.
No man could tell that story straight 8 years later. No, there's not one alive that would tell that story straight 8 years later. And he told it mildly, like I said last week. Like, if I had told that story 8 years later, I would have got shot down. I would have been landed the plane. The pilot, we would have took on fire. I would have killed 20 insurgents with a BB gun, a slingshot made out of a pterodactyl wishbone. And... I don't even know what else.
Yeah, you're like, yeah. Slightly embellished. Yes. You know, there was, hey, I rode a helicopter through some hostile territory.
Well, the difference is he's not just some guy telling a story to his buddies in the back room of the bar over a few beers.
Well, at that point when he told the story, he was on Letterman. That was pretty much telling.
Yeah, but, right, and then he repeated it on NBC Nightly News.
Yeah, any of us really put personal stock into the people that are reading a teleprompter for me? Like, that's not really... I don't think he's making personal decisions on what he's reading to me.
That was somebody that wanted to...
Except for the fact that he's the managing editor of the show, so he does have final say about what goes in or doesn't get in the show.
That was somebody trying to stick it to the man. Like, shit, Fox News lies like every day about... Every day, all fucking day. They should all be suspended.
Right, well, here's the thing. At Fox News, it comes from the top. Sort of their memos about what to push and how to push it. This, I mean, as a news anchor in a position like he is, basically his credibility is what is his stock in trade. I mean, it's like saying, you know, Bernie Madoff screwing a couple people, not really that big a deal because money.
Because honestly, like, I don't think Bernie Madoff, it's completely different. Essentially, I don't think the facts that he repeats during the nightly news are in any way impacted by his personal story about some rocket attack or whatnot. Like that, like, has he ever reported some, you know, fully false...
Well, that's what they're digging into now, because there have been allegations that during Katrina, he was talking about watching bodies float by near the hotel.
And is that, okay, so whether or not he saw bodies floating in the water, there were bodies floating in the water.
Yeah.
So who cares whether or not he was in the helicopter that was shot at, there were helicopters that were shot at. So this wasn't like, you know, he's fully making things up. I mean, he's embellishing his own personal stories about his own personal experiences. That has no impact on their silly reporting on, you know, the toy of the century or the latest primetime hit. I mean, that's really all the nightly news is for the most part. It's just fear and consumerism.
Yeah. But it's like, if you want to report on somebody lying, why are you reporting on stories that you know are false stories and putting people on TV that you know are lying and you don't treat them like they're liars. That should be what they should be covering.
And there is a lot of that that goes on. This idea that you have to cover both sides of the story, and oh, you have to get both sides, even though you know one side is complete and utter bullshit. It's like, no, you got to give them both. You got to give them both time. It's like, nah, no, you don't. But this is a situation where, and I feel a little bit more strongly about it than you do, obviously, but perception is reality. And the perception of Brian Williams at this point is that he's somebody who plays a little fast and loose with the facts. And when your job is to present people with the facts and be somebody who's trustworthy, then it does kind of damage what you do.
Well, I think most of us have just already given up on, you know, corporate media being trustworthy in the first place. Like, I think we're all kind of like, all right, this is just someone's angle on this story. And you can definitely tell when it comes to things like, you know, Ferguson or minimum wage or medical marijuana, anything that doesn't fit the corporate, you know, party line, essentially, you can't rely on the corporate media to give you any kind of honest opinion. So, I mean, some dude lying about whether or not he got shot at by a rocket really isn't the biggest deal to me individually. Like, for me, it's like, just be honest with the majority of people out there, you know? Majority of people out there realize that the reality of the situation is X. Why does the news not represent it as such? So
you think 6 months no pay is too much?
I think it's just silly. Who cares?
It's stupid.
You do both realize that they're going to end up finding something else and firing him, right? He's never going to be back. I would put money on it right now that he will not be back as the anchor of NBC Nightly News.
I think that it's ridiculous that they let people who listen to people lie all day tell them that they should fire somebody like this guy for embellishing a story.
It does seem pretty silly.
Yeah. His intent wasn't to, it's not like he said,
it wasn't some nefarious plot that he was like, you know, I'm going to really disparage some Muslim people by saying they shot at me.
Yeah. Right, but you can't have the face of your organization have the sort of reputation of being like, Brian Williams, he stretches the truth. He's funny, though. Funny motherfucker.
Reputation, Glenn Beck was on TV for how goddamn long?
Yeah, but like,
Glenn Beck, just all like, of them, shit. All of them fuckers.
Okay. Let's take all of cable news out of this, and let's just go to the three main network news
only
guys.
Regular news?
Yeah.
Well, if what do I lie about my husband's cancer and embellish stories about that, or, you know, embellish stories about...
It would be the same thing.
He is no less credible to me today than he was 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
I don't think any of us care who reads the news to us. Yeah. Like, I think most people are just like, who cares? You read a monitor. Thank you.
He's still not coming back.
You're probably right.
I think we're all right.
With show business, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, once you drop off for a few months, you're gone. Like, that's the whole thing they'd say about...
Like I said, you're probably right, but I don't... Like I said, he's no less credible to me this week than he was last week.
Yeah, sure. Still silly. I don't think any worse than dude or better. Yeah.
Like I said, if he had made up a story to disparage Muslims or Jews or somebody, some group,
right.
that would have been one thing. But it wasn't something like that.
He's just trying to blow his own ego up. Yeah. So who cares? We all do that from time to time.
All right.
Exactly.
Well, somebody who apparently has more credibility, Jon Stewart, has announced that he's retiring from The Daily Show after 16 years. Not sure exactly when he's going to end it, but... His contract is up in September. He said when he announced he was leaving, it might be earlier, it might be by the end of the year. No one really knows, but that happened within days of the Brian Williams thing, launching a lot of people on Facebook going, oh, why can't they change jobs?
Yeah, I don't know if I found those two connected at all.
No. They're not, but I saw that a lot. It's like, why can't Jon Stewart bring me the real news and Brian Williams make me laugh?
I just thought, God, now we don't have... any Jews
anybody to tell the truth.
We don't have any Jews in media.
We don't have any Jews in the media anymore.
Oh, no.
Damn it, Jon Stewart. Come back. No, I love Jon Stewart. It's funny when you watch, man, I'm old. Shit, I am old. When you start watching some of these things now, just like that SNL thing and like everything else, it's like, man, started seeing like pictures of Jon Stewart when he's super young, started doing the show. Mm-hmm. I remember watching the show when it first came out and everything. And it's
with
like
Craig Kilborn, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, and I remember it was like a super parody. Like they would just interview people and be dicks to them. Yep. They would just interview some random holy roller dude and just mock them like mercilessly, like not on camera. Like there would be voiceovers just mocking someone horribly. And it was like it was kind of like a mean spirited dickish show. And then it kind of morphed into more of this, you know, informative, you know, liberal, you know, thoughtful program. So it was interesting. Like, and then just for the fact that watching Jon Stewart go from, you know, young, goofy looking dude to old wise man.
He's like, aged like a president is what's happening.
He's gone grayer than me. Shit.
Everything went gray and he's like, I don't know what's going on with anything.
Kids these days.
Well, and the interesting thing is the news broke, so the studio audience actually found out about it. It's taped earlier, but I knew before I watched the show that night.
Yeah, yeah. Everything breaks now through social media. Everyone tweets it and, you know, Facebooks it and whatnot and says, you know, hey, I saw this and Jon Stewart's going to retire. And then so that whole gap between the East and the West Coast now is like so.
Well, there's so much late night talk shows that are New York based now. They moved the Tonight Show back to New York. So there's not a lot based on the West Coast. You've got Conan, you've got Kimmel.
Well, and the ones that are based on the West Coast end up recording so early that, you know, it doesn't really, you know, it's for me, I don't really pay attention to the early tweets and whatnot from Jimmy Kimmel. I just end up watching the show that night because everything's like, you know, post at like 6 or something o'clock. It's like, come on.
Yeah, they record at 5:30. It used to be, and Jimmy Kimmel Live used to be live to the East Coast. They would just roll out at 9:05 Pacific time, and it would be tape delayed to the West Coast. But after about 5 years, they stopped doing that because it's a lot of work and there's a lot of shit that can go wrong.
Yeah, and they used to serve booze in I guess for the first season there. They served booze in the studio. That's awesome.
Not in the studio, but in the backstage area they still
Well,
do
no, that. Like in the like the audience got booze. It was like you know, cocktail hour out there and it was
well, it's the way the man show worked.
It's all
too.
You could drink, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like
then I guess people the man show.
Yeah, the man show. That was part of the deal. Everybody got beer. So you've got a little bit of a lubricated audience, yeah. So they're going to be ready to laugh.
Everyone's funnier when you're drunk.
Any thoughts about who should replace Jon Stewart? I swear to God, if you say Amy Poehler or Tina Fey, I will slap you.
No, I was going to say a
Debbie Kamau Bill.
You know that's not going to happen. Not that he wouldn't be a good choice. I just don't think that's going to happen.
I don't either, but especially since they just gave Larry Wilborn that show.
I just love instantly, as soon as it came out, it was like, it should be a black person, it should be a woman, it should be a... It was like everyone had their own opinion on who the next host should be just based on like demographic and not based on who was funny. I mean, for me, myself, I would love to see Craig Ferguson, you know, come back on TV. I think he is one of the funniest dudes. He's quick-witted, he's hilarious.
He just left.
I know. I want to see him come back. That's what I'm saying. I want to see his ass on TV, and I would love to see him on cable where he could have a little more flexibility and freedom. I think he'd be hilarious.
Yeah. Actually, I wouldn't mind seeing Dale Hughley in that spot.
That's an interesting choice. At least as somebody who actually knows something about news.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, it should be Amy Poehler or Tina Fey. It's like nothing they have ever done. And don't tell me they were on Weekend Update because it's not even remotely the same. That's just silly.
But, and Tony Bias was actually pretty good. He I think he might have got stretched a little thin with the way they pushed that out. But he had everybody was involved in that show.
Right, and you're talking about W. Kamau Bell.
So
yeah, and I don't know what sort of contract he might have with Fox versus Comedy Central. So there's
that.
Yeah, there's that sort of thing.
If I just had to bet, I would just put my money on one of the Wayans brothers because there's like 82 of them. So yeah, they have not had you know any big jobs lately. So
they
I think
don't
it's,
have any.
One of them
they don't. Get, they don't fit what that was. Nothing.
Here's what I'm guessing. I'm guessing, and I'm just throwing darts at the wall here. I'm thinking they're probably going to give the show to Jason Jones He's been there forever.
Yeah, he's pretty funny too, and I do like.
Actually,
his,
I would rather see Samantha Bee than I would him.
And they might do something where they put them both out there because they're husband and wife. They've both been with the show. They know
that
the show.
Would be a great show if you did them like a news.
Yeah, like a news desk, like news with desk both of them. The two of them. Yeah.
I would prefer to see something like that rather than just throw somebody in completely cold.
Yeah, I wonder what's going to be. I wonder if they're going to do like a rotating kind of host to begin with and see kind of who sticks, or if they're just going to go plant somebody. I like the dude that they have on the one after him. Larry Wilmore. Yeah, Larry Wilmore. I like Larry Wilmore. I think it's I think he's great. Very kind of dry, matter of fact delivery. I like that about him. So,
and that was one of the questions because he does keep it 100. And that was one of the questions his staff asked last week, was like, would you rather do the Daily Show or keep the Nightly Show? And he's like, I would rather keep the Nightly Show.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the right answer because the expectations are lower and it's completely his. And he has something very different that...
Yeah, that's funny. I mean, he's funny, man. His Cosby bit was... His Cosby show. He like did almost the entire show on Cosby. That shit was hilarious.
Well, that's what they did. They take one topic and that's the whole show.
Yeah.
Which is a nice way of doing it. It's not super far away from what John Oliver does on HBO.
Yeah, this week. They do a couple different little things. I mean, in each show, they'll do like maybe, you know, they'll do the majority of the show on one topic, but they usually branch out to one.
I'm
kind of
glad he's on HBO,
here, though.
Yeah, I think he's much better served on HBO. I love that show. So we'll see what happens with Jon Stewart leaving after 16 years. All right, time to visit our favorite state in the union, the state of Florida, also known as the state of confusion, where the couple that ends up in a dump truck together. Well, ends up in a dump truck.
A woman is in the hospital tonight after she and a friend were dumped into a garbage truck after sleeping in a dumpster. News Channel 8's Rod Carter is joining us live with more on this bizarre story. What a wake-up call today, Rod.
Yeah, really, Keith. It is bizarre. You know what? When you think about it, two people sleeping inside a dumpster, you kind of give it a little bit of a chuckle until you realize just how dangerous that could have been. And you know what? Believe it or not,
homeless and destitute. Yes.
Hilarious.
Started the route this morning. Got the Wawa's about 4:50.
Garbage driver Radames Velasquez's day started like all the rest. He made his rounds collecting garbage. His second stop, the Wawa on Orient Road in Hillsborough County.
When I checked the container, I looked inside, I seen cardboard, picked it up. I actually dumped the container.
When he left, just before compacting that trash, he checked his safety camera, as he always does. And that's when he saw something that wasn't that usual.
I noticed someone jumping up and down in the truck. So that's when I immediately pulled over. You know, I called the authorities.
Listen to his 911.
Common thing they now install cameras for this? This is a safety camera. They have to check before compacting people?
Those two, 37-year-old Donald Jordan and 49-year-old Lisa Cirabella, are from Kissimmee. These are mugshots from previous arrests. Velasquez told me Jordan was a mess.
He was a little bit irate himself. He said he couldn't trust me. I really don't understand what was happening at that point.
Who's not upset after getting dumped into a trash can?
Hey, he didn't compact him. Listen, Radames was following protocol. He could have totally compacted them and be like, do-do-do-do-do. Listening to Nickelback going down the road, just compacting away.
Radames Hernandez. How many Z's does this dude have in his name?
None. They're all S's. he was very upset with me. It's like, I could have compacted you, dude. I checked and didn't kill you.
You gotta love the news folks who love any excuse to throw in fake jokes. What a wake-up call. They were sleeping in a dumpster.
There's a lot of wordplay that goes unchecked.
Oh, dear Lord.
All right, also in Florida, Gainesville police have arrested a local man after they found a bag of weed in his butt and a bag of crack in his mouth. Because you know that's the way they should go. Officers stopped Winfred Alfonso McAllister Jr., who's 23. I'm sure his dad's proud. Because police saw his red Mitsubishi Galant swerve into the left turn only lane and then back into the original lane twice. Officers smelled marijuana around the car, but McAllister told the cops the scent was left over from when he smoked earlier. He said he did not have any with him. When he stepped out of the car, an officer could smell something. He searched McAllister, found a bag of weed inside of his butt.
Hey, man, I didn't smoke right now. I mean, I just smoked earlier. I didn't smoke right now. I'm just saying. That was like 10 minutes ago, all right?
McAllister reportedly asked the officer, "Man, can you just give me a court date for it?" That was before the officer removed the bag from his pants. The officer then noticed McAllister was hiding something in his mouth, too, asked him to take it out. McAllister then began to chew and tried to swallow the object.
Ooh, you don't want to swallow crack, dude. Don't do that, McAllister.
But spit it out after the officer forced it out. Police identified it as a plastic bag with crack inside.
Man, don't do that, man. Come on.
Yeah, his charges include possession of a controlled substance, marijuana possession, drug equipment possession, and tampering with evidence. They took him to county jail. He was released after meeting a $40,000 bond. So,
no, I'm glad he had some cash laying around to make that bond. He didn't have to wait around in prison.
Well, I would explain the swerving, too. Because you're not going to jam weed in your butt without swerving a little bit in your Mitsubishi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're going to have to keister that. If I'm going to have to keister something, it's going to probably be the crack, I'm guessing. I would eat the weed and keister the crack.
Okay, so you'd go the other way?
Yeah, don't eat crack, kids.
Kareem, what would you do?
I think I would eat the weed.
Okay.
Hey, you eat some crack, you can die. You can die
exactly.
From
that. Yeah, I think he made a poor choice. All right, so Daryl Morey is the general manager of the Houston Rockets, and last week he tweeted, "Best part of being at TNT Game Live is it's easy to avoid Charles Barkley spewing misinformed, biased vitriol disguised as entertainment." So, not a big Charles Barkley fan. It's rare that an NBA GM throws shade like that publicly at an NBA Hall of Fame.
I thought the best part was not having to watch Charles Barkley eat nachos.
Yeah,
it's disgusting. See Charles Barkley.
You be mad because Charles don't believe in your analytics.
It's yeah.
Tell me about your facts. ridiculous facts.
It's terrible. It's just terrible.
Terrible facts.
But some of that shit is ridiculous.
Mathematics.
Some of them
pretty. Some of those ridiculous people love baseball because they have some of the most ridiculous ass stats on. Or like on a Tuesday when it's 60 degrees outside, in February. This man, come on, yeah. Dude, seriously.
But if you, if you sit and watch baseball or football or basketball that much, then you know all this shit without putting it in the computer.
Well, baseball, they've had analytics, those advanced stats for a mm-hmm. long time. And now it's just creeping into other sports. And yeah. other sports don't really know how to take it. They're just kind of like, they don't know if they like it, if they hate it. And so basketball right now, they're starting to get some of those advanced analytics in there. And it's just, because they have so many games too.
Right.
So they got a ton of games. They can pull a ton of numbers together. And so they just, come up with.
And here's where it becomes sort of.
It's kind of like nerds couldn't play. So now they're trying to find.
We're finally ruling. Yes.
Yeah. And that's what fantasy sports is.
Yeah.
And gambling too. It plays.
Yeah. Fantasy sports is not gambling. It requires skill. So
no.
But it requires a great deal of skill and knowledge.
But and the other part of that is fantasy sports isn't kind of, well, I guess if they're what they're trying to do is to predict the outcome,
mm-hmm.
then that would kind of ruin it for you because like fuck, you don't want to watch the game and like, oh, I already know what's going to happen, even though you really don't know what's going to happen
right
all the time. I mean,
I'm not in the mob, so I don't know. But yeah. I mean, if I was, I would.
But I guess you could say some people would be like, they're going to tell you what happens at the end of the movie, at the beginning of the movie. You'd be like, you fucker, I wanted to watch the movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But so a little bit of shade being thrown.
Yeah. But shit, I was a stat hound like way back when before they had these. For me, what pisses me off now is I would read the paper every day and look through everybody's stats to see who did what. And then I'll be able to tell you which team is going to be better next year or whatnot. And now you have a fucking title for this shit called analytics. And I'm like,
that's just fucking paying attention.
Yeah. It's like, oh, if you fucking pay attention to the game, then you already know this shit.
I kind of got Charles's point where it's like, yeah, you can get individual stats together and you can highlight individual things and point to whatever. I mean, it's like that whole thing of, you can make statistics, tell you whatever you want. But, I got his point there, but at the same time, it's like, dude, you can't dismiss all analytics. Come on, dude.
Yeah.
There's
No, I found the most interesting thing I found was that the NBA general manager is like, you know what? Charles Barkley's nonsense. I'm just going to put it out there on Twitter.
Yeah, but he didn't fuck. I'm going to say this about that particular GM. He hasn't done anything amazing. Fuck, you just signed Dwight Howard.
He keeps signing people.
Yeah, you keep signing people, but you didn't sign him for the analytics. You signed him because they were available.
Well, and did they hire Charles Barkley for his well-informed opinions or because he's just a brash, entertaining dude? Yeah. So,
all right, here are some of his other tweets.
The dude signed Dwight Howard because Kobe pissed off Dwight Howard. That's how you got Dwight Howard. So come on.
Let's see. What did he tweet here? At JHarden13 is going to pull another upset for the Rockets. Hashtag beard. This is a general manager of an NBA team.
Yeah. And if he had, look, and if he was really that good at analytics, he'd know that James Harden don't show up for the fucking playoffs and you wouldn't have signed him.
And really, Dwight Howard doesn't either.
Yeah.
So
I like guys with beards, though, so I'm going to sign him.
Yeah.
Beards
that's
him.
How good his analytics are.
Hashtag beard.
Yeah. Because that was what killed the Rockets in the playoffs. It wasn't Dwight Howard. It's funny, the playoffs last year, Dwight Howard's having like the best game ever, and everybody's complaining about him shooting the ball.
Well, it happens. Yeah. In a weird Twitter thing, all of a sudden I got a notice last week that I was being followed by Melissa Joan Hart.
Really?
Yeah. I have no idea why. Just all of a sudden, Melissa Joan Hart decided to follow me. She also follows Daryl Morey, who's the GM of the Rockets.
Interesting.
I know. It's just very weird and random how you get Twitter followers, because I don't tweet that much, but I have to keep it above board from Melissa Joan Hart.
If you have her morning show.
What did you tweet when she decided to follow you?
I have no idea. It was very random. I hadn't tweeted in like 26 hours or something.
I like waffles.
That's right.
She's like, oh, he likes waffles. I think I'll follow him.
This man is wise.
It is it.
It's true. Well, you got to get a little bit of Sacramento knowledge in every now and then to find out what it is. All right. Let's wrap up the show with this.
Don't let the big world overwhelm you. Let's get small. Small town news.
All right. From Merrimack, New Hampshire, there is a warrant out for Punxsutawney Phil. That's right. Merrimack police are trying to lighten the mood amidst one of the bleakest winter stretches in recent memory by threatening the famous groundhog with arrest. Quote, "We've received several complaints from the public that this little varmint is held up there in a hole, all warm and toasty. He told several people the winter would last 6 more weeks. However, he failed to disclose that it would consist of mountains of snow." That was their Facebook post. Police are asking residents to resist taking out their frustrations on Phil and not approach him because, quote, "he's armed and dangerous." That might be an exaggeration, but one groundhog did actually bite a Wisconsin mayor's ear.
That shit was hilarious.
It's just sad. First of all, it's not even Punxsutawney Phil anymore. It's not. It's like, this is like, which Daryl are we on from Bewitched or whatever, you know, or from I Drew Genie? Like, which one are we on? Like, because this thing died. Like, some dude dropped it.
Oh, no, that was the one in New York.
That was the other one. That was the other Phil. No, this is not the same Phil, though. Yeah, they're on to, like, the fourth or fifth groundhog now.
And then that was the thing. I was like, how the fuck do you just, I'm going to have my own Groundhog Day. Like, in one place.
Nope, we're doing our own.
It was in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, forever. And then all of a sudden, all of these other places go, you know what? We should have a groundhog, too. That's a hell of an idea, Bob.
Yeah, it's like, how the fuck do you take over the tradition?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to make my own tradition. So what if they have, what if two groundhogs have different opinions?
Which happened, by the way.
Yeah. So what, you have 1 week of snow, 1 week of...
No, they just have a battle. It's like a Thunderdome. They just throw them both in there, and whoever wins, that's what the season's going to be.
Well, I think what they were saying is like, well, our groundhog's predicting our winter, and yours is predicting your winter. It's like, okay, it's not the battle of the wacky morning meteorologists. Let's be serious for a moment.
It's battle of the tourist dollars. Battle of the tour. Bring us your money.
It's a battle of the varmints, and Bill Murray did not go anywhere but Pennsylvania to do Groundhog Day. I think that's all we need to know about it.
That's true.
Exactly.
All right. So that's it for Small Town News, and that's it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show, the Wednesday episode. Hope you all enjoyed it. We'll be back with another one on Friday. For Justin, thanks, Justin, for sitting in.
No, thank you for having me.
And Kareem.
Thanks for coming in, Justin.
Yeah, thank you. And we'll have to crack this beer now.
And we'll do that between shows. I'm Nate. Leave you with a little classic rock from the 60s. It's the Box Tops and the Letter on the Nate Darling Show. Bye-bye. Lonely days ago, I'm going home. My baby sister wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone, I'm going home. My baby sister wrote me a letter. When she wrote me a letter, said she couldn't live without me no more. Listen, mister, can't you see I got to get back to my baby once more. Anyway, yeah, give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby sister wrote me a letter. When she wrote me a letter, said she couldn't live without me no more. Listen, mister, can't you see I got to get back to my baby once more. Anyway, yeah, give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home.